What could I do but fondle and weep with her? But this is a great shame to write. There was now for me a kind of sweetness in our misery for the first time. This was what I had come to her in her prison to do. She recovered before I did. She raised her head queen-like again and said, "But I'll not believe it. The priest has been with me. I never knew him before. He is not what the fox thinks." "Do you know, sister, I have come to feel more and more that the fox hasn't the whole truth. Oh, he has much of it. It'd be dark as a dungeon within me but for his teaching. And yet, I can't say it properly. He calls the whole world a city. But what's a city built on? There's earth beneath. And outside the wall? Doesn't all the food come from there as well as all the dangers? Things growing and rotting, strengthening and poisoning. Things shining wet. In one way, I don't know which way, more like, yes, even more like the house of, yes, of Ungit," said I. "Doesn't the whole land smell of her? Do you and I need to flatter gods any more? They're tearing us apart. Oh, how shall I bear it? And what worse can they do? Of course the fox is wrong. He knows nothing about her. He thought too well of the world. He thought there were no gods, or else, the fool, that they were better than men. It never entered his mind. He was too good to believe that the gods are real and viler than the vilest men. Or else," said Psyche, "they are real gods, but don't really do these things. Or even, mightn't it be, they do these things, and the things are not what they seem to be? How if I am indeed to wed a god?" She made me, in a way, angry. I would have died for her. This, at least, I know is true. And yet the night before her death I could feel anger. She spoke so steadily and thoughtfully, as if we had been disputing with the fox up behind the pear trees, with hours and days still before us. The parting between her and me seemed to cost us so little. "Oh, Psyche," I said almost in a shriek, "what can these things be except the cowardly murder they seem? To take you, you, whom they have worshipped and who never hurt so much as a toad, to make you food for a monster. You will say, I've said it many thousand times to myself, that if I saw in her any readiness to dwell on the better part of the priest's talk, and to think she would be a god's bride more than a brute's prey, I ought to have fallen in with her and encouraged it. Had I not come to her to give comfort if I could, surely not to take it away? But I could not rule myself. Perhaps it was a sort of pride in me, a little like her own, not to blind our eyes.